Well, we've been in this ministry, I guess, going on about 17 years. Cindy and I, she's not here today. She suffers from vertigo, so she's been having suffering from that quite a bit the last week, so she stayed home today. But we've been in, I guess, around 300 churches, and some of those more than once. And I don't know how many signs we've given away through the years, but it's always a privilege to give away the Word of God, amen? You can never go wrong giving away the Word of God, you know? You can never go wrong sowing the Word of God. I was in the Fair Ministry, Amazing Grace Missions, for 10 years, and sometimes I tried to reap a few souls, you know, twist a few people's arms that maybe weren't quite ready yet. Sometimes you can mess up trying to reap when people aren't ready, but you'll never go wrong sowing the Word of God. Amen. He that soweth bountifully shall what? Reap also bountifully. That's talking about money there, but you can also apply it to the Word of God. Amen. The sower soweth the Word. So what am I saying here today? I'm saying when you put the Word of God out, when you put a sign out in your front yard, when you stand on a street and people drive by and they see the Word of God, amen, you're sowing the Word of God in that person's heart. If that person ever gets saved, you had a part in their salvation, amen? You say, that's good for people that are a little bit, they're not good talkers, but you can just hold the Word of God, amen? Let the Word of God do its work. When you put the Word of God out, it's working, amen? 24/7. You don't have to get out there and coax it. You don't have to pay it support. It's going to work. It's going to do its work, amen? The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, heaven and earth, God says, shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And even when Jesus comes back, like Brother Leakley talked about today in his revelation coming, what is across his chest? And the Bible says his name is what? Called the Word of God. Amen. So Jesus so much associates him with the Word of God, he calls himself the Word of God. In the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So that's why, one of the reasons why we believe in posting the Word of God. Folks, it's a dark world out there today, isn't it? You see a lot of weird things out there in the world. We were driving down to Florida about 20 or 30 years ago, and we saw a billboard on the side of the road saying, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And you know who put that out? The Church of Christ put that out. I looked over at Sydney, I said, you know, we need more of these, you know. And so it's a funny story, but about a couple months ago, we had the opportunity to rent some billboards. And we ran into this lady, and she gave us a deal. We could rent 10 billboards for $4,000 for a month. We thought, that's a pretty good deal, rent a billboard for a month. And if they stay up longer, they can. And so we did that. We put up about 10 billboards. And one of the billboards we put up out on Route 21 out there by Maslin was, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. We need more of these, don't we? More of those, don't we? I thought, I was a little bit paranoid, Brother Leakley, to put that up. I thought, man, these woke people are going to come over and probably bomb my house after I do this. But the Lord gave me the grace, and we went ahead and put it up anyway. And, one person called me up and says, you shouldn't put those billboards up. Like, you know, some young person's going to see that 6-year-old young person, and he's going to commit suicide. I thought, well, maybe he'll see that and get saved. Amen. And he won't become a homosexual. Amen. You know, folks, people aren't born homosexuals. People are born sinners, but they choose a lifestyle. Amen. And just because a person is a little bit wimpy when they're younger, they might take after their mom a little more than they do their dad. That doesn't mean they have to grow up to be a homosexual, amen? People, God didn't make homosexuals. He didn't make bank robbers. He didn't make drug addicts. He made people that, and Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin nature entered into the human race, and ever since, Adam and Eve, every human being is born, yes, with a sinful nature. And because of that sinful nature, we were apt to sin. But we choose what we do, amen? And the Bible says, choose you this day whom you shall serve. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm glad that God gives us a free will and we can choose to repent and trust Jesus as our Savior. It doesn't matter if you're a gay, if you're a drug addict, if you're a drunkard, if you're just a plain old religious hypocrite, God, you can save them too, amen. Sometimes they're a little bit harder than the other ones, amen. But God can save anybody, amen. He's in the saving business. Christ Jesus came in the world to what? Save sinners. So we put those billboards up. We got 10 of them up. And some churches are sending us some money. I think we've raised about $6,000 since we put the last one up. And we're going to start doing more of them billboards. But you can see pictures of them back there on my table back there, the some of the examples that we put up. And so the billboard ministry, I think that's a pretty cool ministry. And you say, well, Brother Marshall, what else does it do when you put a scripture sign out? Well, it causes you to take a stand for Jesus. Amen. Take a stand for Jesus. You know, this world is lacking in boldness today. Paul said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, God wants us to be bold for him. And I wish some Christians would be as bold for Jesus as they were for the devil. Amen. Some of you guys, before you got saved, you'd go into a beer joint and drink a six-pack of Budweiser and fight half the guys in the beer joint and whoop about half of them, amen? But you get saved, you put on a pair of pink leotards, amen? That shouldn't be like that, you know? We need to be bold for Jesus, amen? And there's a serious lack of boldness today in Christianity. We need to be bold for the Lord. And so that's one of the reasons why we post scripture is because nobody gets saved without the Word of God. And another reason why I believe in posting scriptures is because I'm saved, amen? Because 50 years ago, God saved me, amen? I was raised a good little Roman Catholic hypocrite, 10 years in parochial schooling, never saw a Bible, never had a Bible in our home. I mean, we had rosaries, we had holy water, not holy, we didn't have no holy water in our house. My mom never did that. We had St. Joseph hymnals, Maryknoll missals, we had all kinds of religious paraphernalia, but no Bible. And honestly, I never saw a Bible in 10 years of parochial schooling. But I mean, we had catechisms, but no Bible. And so my mom died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 17. I had an apartment when I was a junior in high school. I was a popular guy back then, Brother Leakley. Everybody wanted to come over to Joe's house to party because he was the only kid in high school that had an apartment, you know. And I began to drink beer when I was about a junior in high school. And about 1969, marijuana came out in the Akron area, began to smoke pot. Pretty soon, LSD came around, began to take that LSD, doing trips on that LSD. And about a year after that, a friend of mine, quote unquote, invited me over to his house one day, and he turned me on to my first injection of heroin. He injected heroin into my arm that day. And for the next 5 years, I was addicted to the drug of heroin. I was not a happy camper. I hated my life. I didn't want to be a drug addict. I didn't want to be a drunkard. I didn't want to be a whoremonger. Well, I probably wanted to be a whoremonger, but I didn't know there was a way out. Amen. I mean, I never saw anybody carry a Bible in high school. I never had anybody ever witness to me. In fact, it wasn't until I was 26 years old that God started sending people by me to start witnessing to me. And one person gave me Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. I read that just before I got saved. And then somebody gave me Hal Lindsey's book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. And back then, God used Hal Lindsey to reach a lot of the hippie generation back then. And I read both of those books. I read Moody's book on heaven. I read Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade. I read all four of those books before I got saved. Amen. That's more than some of you have read since you've been saved. Amen. But I still wasn't saved. And so what happened was a girl that I partied with left a New Testament outside my door one day in a flower and a vase. And she wrote on the front of that New Testament, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And I said, man, I took that Bible in my apartment. I'm going to try reading the Bible. Man. Maybe that'll do something for me, you know. And so I picked up that New Testament, began to read it. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and I started reading the book of Romans. And it started in Romans chapter 1. I started coming under conviction of my sin. In Romans chapter 2, it got worse. Amen. And I got in Romans chapter 3, it got worser. I read in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And then I read Romans 3:19 where it said, all the world is guilty before God. Not accountable, as a new version say, but guilty before God. God put his finger on me that day and said, Joe, that's you. You're guilty before God. I said, you're right, Lord, but what am I going to do? And then I read the next verse, Romans 3:20, where it says, because we're guilty, in verse 19, Romans 3:20 says this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And, you know, this is the way a Roman Catholic thinks. You know, now if I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell because of my sin and I'm guilty before God and I can't get there by the deeds of the law or some kind of religious rigmarole, some kind of sacramental religion, just how am I supposed to get to heaven was going through my mind. Well, God showed me in the next series of verses. It says this in Romans 3:21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God saved me on this verse 50 years ago, Romans 3:24. The verse goes, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I read that verse and I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, could be justified freely simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I did that night and I felt the Lord come into my heart. And guess what? My life's never been the same since. And I could testify today, I haven't had a needle in my arm, smoked a joint, drunk a beer, said darn, or Hail Mary in 50 years. And guess what? I don't want to either. You say, well, Brother Marshall, I still want to do a lot of things. Well, that happens sometimes, right? And that's another thing. It just isn't getting saved. It's totally turning your life over to Jesus after you get saved. Amen? In other words, what are you saying, Brother Joe? Well, I mean, start coming to church, amen? Getting baptized in deep water, like the Bible commands every believer. Picking up the Word of God and begin to get into the Word of God, in memorizing the Word of God, and saturating yourself with the Word of God. You know, and I believe that really is the great catalyst for sanctification after a Christian is saved. You know, I went to a little Bible school down here in Milford where they print the Bible down there. Dr. Keene had us each memorize one of these memory books every semester. I began to memorize the Word of God. I went to Bible about a year after I was saved. I went to Bible school. And I began to memorize these little memory books. And I thought, man, this is something. I like this. You know, it's pretty cool, you know. And I was feeling good about it. And so I did that for about a year. And then I got a job over Landmark Baptist Temple driving one of their Christian school buses. And I began to check verses out of the New Testament that God spoke to me about. And I'd take an old Bering Precious Seed paperback Bible and I'd cut them out of the Bible. And I made my own spiral notebook, you know, and pasted them in there. And I began to make my own verses, you know, and began to memorize them between bus stops. And I could, this is the gospel truth, folks. I can remember after doing that for 2 years, memorizing the Word of God, pillowing my head one night in my dirty little room down in Milford. I was a single guy back then. Pillowing my head back then and thinking to myself, you know, it has been 2 years since I've had a bad thought. And I said, Lord, how can this be? And believe me, I was no Boy Scout before I got saved, just like I told you. I said, Lord, how can this be? It's been 2 years since I've had a bad thought. And the Lord told me, he said, Joe, it's the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Folks, that is the key. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You make this book the integral part of your life, and it'll do amazing, amazing things for you. Amen. And so some of those memory books are back there on the table. You can help. You guys can get some back there after we're done. If you're a young person, young people, get into that book. Get into the Word of God. God will do amazing things for you. And so that's the second reason why. The first reason why nobody gets saved without the Word of God. The second reason I believe in giving out the Word of God is because I'm saved. Amen? I'm saved. And then the third reason I believe in giving out the Word of God is I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I don't want to be ashamed. You know, this world, they're not ashamed of what they do, are they? I mean, the evolutionists, they're not ashamed, you know. Oh, I believe in a Big Bang. You know, it takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang than it does Genesis 1:1. Amen. You believe that this earth, this great universe came from a Big Bang out in the sky. I got some beach land out in Las Vegas. I want to tell you, amen. It takes more faith to believe in that and just believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, amen. And so they're not ashamed. The evolutionists, they're not ashamed. The atheists, they're not ashamed of what they do, are they? We do the Hartville flea market up there in Akron on Saturdays. We give away the scripture signs there and pass out chick tracts up there. And I was walking around the flea market passing out the chick tracts. And I went up to this guy. He was pushing his wife in this wheelchair. And I tried to give him the tract. He said, "I don't want that tract." He says, "I'm an atheist." I said, "You're an atheist. Why?" He said, "Well, God put my wife in a wheelchair." You know, God, he's an atheist, but God put his wife in the wheelchair, right? And I said, "Lord, sir, all I got to tell you is, you know, I've been saved about 50 years, and, you know, I've had some bad things happen to me, but guess what? The Lord's helped me in all those bad things. You know, I found out that all things work together for good to them that love God." He said, "I don't care." He says, "I'm an atheist." I said, "All right, sir, you know." And "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And so the atheists, they're not ashamed, are they, of being an atheist? And the fornicators today, they're not ashamed. The fornicators of this world, the great sin that Hollywood propagates, amen. And you know, the Bible talks about fornication all through it. It's one of the most wicked sins in the Bible, the sin of fornication. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication or sex before marriage sins against his own body." I don't know what that means, but it don't sound good, does it? And so they're not ashamed, are they? And that's the big sin that Hollywood promotes today, the sin of fornication and adultery. That's all they do, to shove that garbage down our throats. And these kids today, they grow up, and that's what they do. They grow up to be fornicated. They don't want to get married anymore. Just shack up. We don't need to get married. You know, the Bible still says the marriage bed is undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In fact, I got that sign right back. That's one of them big signs right back there. And so they're not ashamed, are they, of what they do? And the homosexuals today, they're not ashamed of what they do, are they? The gay people there are coming out of the closet, amen. I say, go back in, amen. They declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not, the Bible says. And gay pride, what do they got to be proud about? Maybe gay pride, that's the biggest load of garbage that ever came down the pike, amen. Gay pride, I'm proud, I'm a pervert. Oh, okay, well, whatever. But they're not ashamed, are they? You say, "Well, Brother Joe, can a gay person get saved?" They certainly can, amen. And let me give you a little illustration. This is kind of a cool illustration, but we did the fair ministry for about 10 years, and we dealt with a lot of people in the fair ministry, and we deal with homosexuals quite a bit, you know, coming up to the booth, you know. We try to get them try to get them saved. Well, one day, these three girls came up, and just nice-looking girls, just like you girls right here, dressed nice and proper and didn't have jewelry hanging out of their nose, and their hair wasn't 10 different colors, and they came back, and we got them back to the table there, and when I deal with somebody, I always... when I go down the Romans road, I always start them out in Revelation 21:8. And I like to get people lost before you can get them saved. Amen. I used to use "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God" in the Romans road, but I quit using that. I switched over to Revelation 21:8 because I like to get people convicted of personal sin when I try to lead them to the Lord. Amen. You know, you don't get saved until you get lost. Amen. We got to get people lost before we get them saved. So what we do is we go down, we got them back there, and I started going through Revelation 21:8. Now, girls, check this out. It says here, the fearful, the unbelieving. What's an unbeliever? Well, somebody that, you know, doesn't believe, you know. And it says abominable. I says, girls, there's a lot of abominable things in the Bible, but one of them is homosexuality and lesbianism. And this one girl, she raised her hand. She says, "Sir, can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure, what is it, honey?" She says, I'm a homosexual." She called herself a homosexual. She was a lesbian, you know. She says, "I'm a homosexual." I said, "Okay, you know." And so we just kept going on down through the Romans road and got down there a little bit farther, and this girl raised her hand again. She says, "Sir, can I tell you another thing?" I said, "Sure, honey, what is it?" She says, "I know God hates homosexuals." I said, "No, honey." I said, "God does not hate homosexuals. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner." You know, and she kind of smiled when she heard that. She kind of liked that. God loved her, you know. And then we got down a little bit farther, wrote down in Romans 9, 10, and 13. And usually when I get down there, I ask, now, do you girls want to accept Christ as your Savior? And they almost all the time, if you've got them lost in Revelation 21, 8, they almost all the time want to get saved in Romans 10, 13. And I said, would you girls like to accept Jesus as their Savior? And they kind of said, yeah, I guess, you know. And then I said, okay, we can do that in just a minute. But let me ask you a question before we do. Are you girls willing to turn from sin and repent? She said, what do you mean? Well, a lot of people come in here and they just want to have a hell insurance, you know. I don't mean people have to be sinlessly perfect, but I believe that you got to at least be willing to turn for whatever God convicts you about. And if they say they're willing to do that, well, I'll pray with them and pray the sinner's prayer, you know. And I asked, I says, are you willing? And that girl looked at me and she looked down. She says, I don't know if I can. And I was struggling for a verse, and the Lord gave me this. It's a, you know, girls, the Bible says, Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know that doesn't have anything to do probably with salvation. It's written to Christians there, but still God gave me that verse. And she looked at me, she says, I'll try. And we pray with them. I prayed, all three of them asked Christ to save them. And we have them write out a little paper after they're done, you know, after we deal with them, and we ask them, what did God do for you today? You know what that girl wrote on her paper? God delivered me today from homosexuality. I like that. Amen. Yes! Amen. You say, can God do that? He certainly can. Amen. He saved some of you. He can do that too. Amen. He saved me. Amen. He can do that. He can do that for anybody. Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. He died for plain old, no good, dirty, rotten sinners who will repent and trust him as their Savior. Doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you think you are. God can save anybody. Amen. I believe he saved those girls that day. And the first person I ever led to the Lord was one, what do they call these ones that dress up like women? Transsexuals. What do they call them? Transsexual. I was working at the 7-Eleven when I first got saved, and I was reading Jack Hiles' book, Let's Go Soul Winning. I've been saved about a year. You know, I said, this is cool. You could lead somebody to the Lord. You know, this is cool. And I was reading. I was working the night shift down at 7-Eleven, and I was reading that book, Let's Go Soul Winning by Jack Hiles. And here come this big, about 6'2", black transvestite into the 7-Eleven, and I was looking up at her. I said, ma'am or sir, I'm not sure. Anyway, would you do you know if you're going to heaven? You know, and she said, I don't know. I said, would you like to? I guess, you know. And I ended up taking her through that Romans Road there, and she asked Jesus to save her. And I don't know if she really got saved or not, but she walked out of that 7-Eleven that night, and I don't know if she did or not, but all I know is she prayed and asked God to save her. That was the first person I ever led to the Lord. It was a transvestite. Amen. I'm going to have me a homosexual ministry here pretty soon, right? But folks, God's in the saving business, folks. And he loves people. Amen. For God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But anyway, they're not ashamed. Another group that isn't ashamed today is the Roman Catholics today. They're not ashamed of what they do, are they? You say, Brother Marshall, are Roman Catholics bad people? No, some of the nicest people I know are Roman Catholic. I got an aunt that she would literally nice you to death. Both sides of my family are Roman Catholic. My dad had 10 kids on his side. My mom had 12, and all of them were Roman Catholics, and they were a good Catholic family. They all had about 5 kids apiece, amen? And my aunt would just nice you to death. I mean, she's one of the nicest persons you ever know. But she's not saved, amen? She thinks, I asked her one day, I was talking to her at a family reunion, I said, Aunt Dorda, are you on your way to heaven? She said, well, Joe, I don't know, I hope I've done enough to get to heaven. And I said, well, Aunt Dorda, you can't do enough to get to heaven. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And she said, well, Joe, I don't know. You know, I said, I gave her a chick tract. Well, I had a Catholic chick tract there, I think it was last rites, and I gave her to take her home with her. But the Roman Catholics, they're not ashamed, amen? And you know, if you believe in what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, you can't be saved. you can't be saved. If you believe, if a Roman Catholic believes in what their church teaches, they can't be saved. I don't care how nice they are. Because the Bible, the Roman church is guilty of at least, this is at the bare minimum, seven different heresies. The heresy of infant baptism, the heresy of purgatory, the heresy of the confessional, the heresy of salvation by works, the heresy of transubstantiation, the heresy of purgatory, the heresy of the confessional, and on and on and on it goes. Folks, it only takes one heresy to be a heretic. Amen? And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And they that would do such things shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. So I don't care what they try to tell you. You know, and today they teach, the Roman Catholics tell their parishioners, when they talk to Protestants, they say, just agree with everything they say. You know, I witnessed to these nuns up at the fair, and they had a booth across from us, and I'd always go over there, "Hey, sister, how you doing today? Hey, I got saved. I got born again." You know what they say? Amen. Amen. They'll say, "Amen. Yeah, that's good," you know. And, they teach them to be nice to everybody, you know. But folks, we got to reach Roman Catholics. Amen. You say, "Brother Marshall, do you hate Roman Catholics?" No, I love Roman Catholics. That's why I witness to them. That's why I give them chick tracts, you know, about Roman Catholicism. Amen. Why? If I didn't like them, I wouldn't say nothing. I'd just let them go to hell. Amen. But we got to reach Roman Catholics. You know, 25% of this nation is Roman Catholic. At least. That's a bare minimum. We've got a vice president that's Roman Catholic. We got practically the whole Supreme Court, a lot of them are Roman Catholic. Many people in politics are Roman Catholic. They're taking over the country, amen? And not only are they guilty of all those heresies, but you know, Roman Catholicism killed 50 million people in the Dark Ages. 50 million. Not only just killed them, but tortured them first, then they killed them. Amen. You said, "Brother Marshall, I don't believe that." Well, you go over to Spain, down there in the basement, some of the church, they still got the places where they used to torture them. Amen. And in the European countries where they tortured. And why did they kill them? They didn't believe in, they believe in justification by faith. You don't believe like we do, we're going to kill you unless you recant. And they killed over 50 million people. Now, what if Brother Leakley went out and killed one person? Brother Leakley got mad, and he went out and killed one person. Man, that would be in every paper in the United States. Amen. Brother Leakley kills this person. But the Roman Catholic Church killed over 50 million. You know, they don't talk about that. Amen. I'm interested in this new pope, Brother Leakley. I don't know. You know, I'm looking at him. I think, is this going to be the false prophet? I'm kind of looking. I believe the pope will probably be the false prophet. And so Roman Catholicism, they're not ashamed. We got to reach them. We got to love Roman Catholics. We got to reach them with the gospel, amen, so they can get saved, amen. And so they're not ashamed, all right? And so these are some of the people that aren't ashamed. Another last reason why I believe in getting out the word of God and just be a witness. By the way, what do you guys think the greatest tool is for witnessing? Amen. Amen. I get a lot of different answers, but that he put that out there, right? Exactly. Gospel tracts are the greatest tool you can use for witnessing. Amen. You'll never be a witness for the Lord unless you carry gospel tracts. Like you, I mean, you can witness without gospel tracts, but it's a lot harder. Amen. I mean, you go to a store and you pay for your food, you know, and if you don't have a gospel tract on you, it's hard to witness to that cashier, you know, because you're not going to stand in line and preach a three-point message on hell, you know, while 10 people are waiting for you in line, you know. But if you got a gospel tract, you say, "Hey, let me give you this gospel. Go to heaven for sure." I got something I say usually. That's what I tell people. Go to heaven for sure. Go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And they'll take the gospel tract. And by the way, these tracts get read, amen. I've used Fellowship Track Links for years and years, but I switched over to what kind of tracts are these? Chick tracts. And I got a photographic memory, but I'm out of film. 77, 2 days ago, you know. But anyway, these tracts get read, amen. I was driving down 77 one day, and I threw a Chick Track out on the bench when I was going in the bathroom there, and I came back out, and there were three kids reading that Chick Track. They're all three of them huddled around reading that one Chick Track. You know, when we're young, we all read comic books. I don't know about you. We'd go over to Gray Drugs and steal the comic books from Gray Drugs and go over in the woods and read them all day long. Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, you know, Uncle Scrooge. We all read comic books, and they still do, amen? And Chick Tracks get read. And they cost a little bit more, but they're worth it. If you buy 1,000, you can get them for a discount. You can get them for about almost a little over 50% off if you buy 1,000 at a time. So I like Chick Tracks, and they get ripped. And so if you carry a track with you every day, it'll help you to be a witness for the Lord. Amen? It'll help you. And I believe God wants us to be a witness for Him. What time is it? About 12? Okay, I'm going to wrap up with that today. Hey, I'm glad you guys came out today. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate Brother Leakley. I appreciate this church. I appreciate your stand on the Word of God. Let's bow our head and have a word of prayer. While we're bowing our head, I want to ask you a question. There may be somebody here that's not saved here today. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And before I pray, I want you to just ponder in your heart, are you saved? Are you born again? Has Jesus changed your life by faith in Him? If not, then you come forward today and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be born again by faith in Jesus. The rest of you, I'm going to challenge you with this. Are you a witness for the Lord? Are you trying to be a witness for the Lord? You can do it. You can do it. If you just say, Lord, help me to do it. He can help you to be a witness for Him. He never commands us to do something that we can't do. Whatever the need is, you come now. As we sing a song of invitation. Here's Brother Leakley. He's going to come and give the invitation. Thank you.